Hi everyone, welcome to the AI of Mankind show, where I share anything interesting about mankind. I'm your host for this season. My name is Andrew Liu. I've worked across 4 continents and 12 international cities. Also, I've worked in tech startups across a range of roles from selling products, making customer happy, figuring out fundraising, making finance tick, building teams, and developing sticky products. Apart from building startups, I've also worked in Fortune 500 companies as a chief data scientist or technologist or people leader. You can call me jack of all trades or master of learning. I hope to make this podcast show a great learning experience for us. In each season, there is a series of interesting things where I invite guests to share their views about their life and interests. Now let the show begin.
In part 2 of our captivating podcast with William Tseng, we witnessed the fascinating impact of AI in transforming code reviews and software development. Sweep's AI capabilities have been revolutionizing the way developers handle technical debt and code refactoring, making coding more efficient and enjoyable. Now, as we transition into part 3 of this thrilling conversation with William, prepare to be astonished by the AI-driven coding revolution. We'll explore Sweep's powerful collaboration with developers, the lightning-fast development enabled by being language-agnostic, and how Sweep handles various coding scenarios. In this episode, we'll uncover how AI is transforming mundane coding tasks and empowering developers to focus on complex problem-solving and unleashing their creativity. Tune in now to discover the secrets of AI wizards in the captivating realms of code.
So, ChatGPT, that sometimes it gives what I call hallucination effect, or rather some outcome that's not helpful or not true. How do the end user who's a dev work it out with Sweep? Is there some kind of feature where there's a positive reinforcement or corrective mechanism around there?
Yeah, so I'll actually show you one where it failed. And then in this one, it actually didn't work. I think it actually forgot to. So this is the one that we just ran. It actually didn't define the get initial. So I could say you didn't define the get initials method. So if I can, this is how you respond to a junior developer as well. If they wrote in a mistake, I would tell them, hey, you forgot to write this method. Okay. And then what will happen is Sweep will run in the meantime and then actually try to fix everything.
Wow.
I believe this one actually needs to actually, we just added a change yesterday.
How long it takes for Sweep, like in for this particular case, how long it takes for Sweep to acknowledge that that you give to him?
This one, we have two methods. The first one is, you can see, if you see this one, Sweep actually reviews its own PRs. So it says, the last couple ones succeeded. So we're 5 out of 6 so far. And we got the one that didn't succeed in this case. So it says, hey, you replaced these hardcode initials, but I can't find where this function is defined. So we need to make sure to define this function. And then typically Sweep will address the issue here as well, or take comments. So you can see here, this should be fixed. It says it actually just added the method because I commented on it, and this build should succeed. So if you see, now it just defined the function that I asked it to define.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty eye-opening because I seen a similar product before, but it took, I think, a very long gestation period to just work on a very small corpus of code base. Have you guys tested this limit of how far it can go in terms of browsing or combing through the code base?
Yeah. So we actually have, I think our record for the largest code base that we run is one of our customers has a monolith repo. If for those who don't know, a monolith repo is where a company puts all of their code in one folder, basically, or one directory. Is that a good explanation of a monolith repo?
Yeah. You put everything into one page. Or like one piece of document, one file. But how many estimated lines of code are we talking about? Like 100 million, a million? I don't know.
Yeah, so we can, I actually don't have entire read access, but I can give you an estimate. Also, as you saw, this one just fixed the issue and it should also be working now. I'll just show you that one. So it's also fun when sometimes the demo doesn't work and then we can see how we would fix it. It doesn't always work. So in this demo, it also has the fix. Yeah, but even when it doesn't get right on the first try, we definitely think that back to hallucinations, though, it's definitely not going to get it every time.
Yes.
So we use this kind of code review tools to allow Sweep to recover from mistakes. And I can go more into that after this, but best option. Sorry.
It's good that you have a mechanism that you're working on to correct the suite, basically to enable it to be a smart intelligence. But the question is like, what is the percentage of accuracy at the moment? Like as in giving you a false positive or a false negative, you know, in that sense.
Yeah. So that one we'd actually do not track at the moment, but one way that we can rely on this is because it's a code review, it's very highly scrutinized, right? With good testing and good review practice. I think that's how you can make AI generated code work because a lot of people are really concerned. And to be fair, we're also concerned. We review all PRs that go into our code base as well. So going back to that, I think it's for the model to be better. There are some things we can do and we do a lot of those things, but the ultimate responsibility is on the reviewer, just like at any software company working with the Jira dev, the senior developer, it's their job to make sure everything is good.
Yes, yes. I definitely get where coming from. Okay. What is your view? I think now let's move on to the next big question in terms of what is your view on the adoption of this kind of large language models for dev workers? They need, you know, great and accurate, fast work done.
Yeah. So that's something we're really focused on. I think there's two, focusing on that fast part, I think there's two kinds of fast.
Yeah.
The first kind is where you sit there and then it comes back to you immediately. And the second kind is where you set it and then you don't have to sit with it. Just like letting it run, go off, and then you can come back in 15 minutes or when you're done with your next task, come back and review it. That is two ways. So we're focused on definitely getting the user to see something very quickly. Let's say it's urgent. You need to know how to solve the problem, right?
Yes.
But on the other hand, sometimes when the model doesn't get it right on first try, we need to build in methods for the model to recover and fix its own mistakes. So that's why we really focus on, like you said, like I mentioned, the model reviewing its own code and a model running GitHub Actions and kind of this CI pipeline. So when it fails, it can see the error and then rewrite the code, just like how a Jira developer would. Just again, a lot of it is looking at the error, writing the code again, seeing if it passes.
Okay. So along the same line where you mentioned about they read the code, write and review, there are always cases where there could be potential bad actors going into this like suite software or any software base and put some or inject some malicious code or autonomous code. How does suite enable that its bot or its assistant is secured as much as possible? You know,
so for there's a couple layers of security we can talk about. The first one is based on GitHub. So we can, because the GitHub has a really great security by default, like there's personal access tokens, they have their installation-based authentication. So Sweep cannot do, there's a lot of things Sweep can't do, even though there's things Sweep can do and it can't do. It cannot merge a PR. So by default, even if you had full permissions, you couldn't merge a PR and you couldn't deploy code unless someone, typically people will gate their deployments on a merge. So if you can't merge, you can't deploy. And then going back, that's the first part. So on the kind of code security, but then on the other hand, how do we store your code? So we have two main components that we work with. First is our infrastructure, which is SOC 2 certified. So they have, you know, a baseline of security. The second part is how we index your code. And the way we do that is we actually do not store any code in plain text. So what we do is we store the embeddings, which are not plain text and really difficult to reconstruct. It's very hard to turn embeddings back into text, right?
Yes.
And what we do is we actually key the key of that. The embedding is based on the code itself. The key is based on your file name and the GitHub SHA. So each SHA represents a point in time of a code base. So for example, let's just say you make one change every day. Today's code is probably different from yesterday's code. So what we'll do is we'll say today and file A. Then we'll say yesterday, file A. So then if you're looking at file A, today, file A, we'll be able to give you what is the, what code, and then what code is reflected based on the search, and no plain text is stored anywhere except for when you make the, and then what will happen is for about 5 minutes while this request is happening, our server will spin up, it will pull the code from GitHub, write the issue, and then send it back. And the other part of this OpenAI, which they state that they don't store your code for training, but they only store it for debugging and misuse. So if there's any issues with that, I think overall, those are the overview of how Sweep handles security.
In other words, you guys have these gut rails that you guys in place, like you say, you cannot merge, you cannot deploy. So it's not able to enable this code overriding in that sense. And then the other part is the storing of the code where you have, like you say, you have the baseline certification, which is the SOC 2, and then your indexing is a form of encryption. Is there some kind of audit trail of suite so that if something happens, somebody can go back and check, hey, what did suite have done? Or somebody has done it with suite. I don't know.
Could you clarify that a little bit more? Like, do you mean what kind of changes suite has made or what kind of?
Yeah. What kind of think of it, like, because even though there's a guardrail, it cannot write the code or deploy or merge, but it can read and give recommendation, right? So there could be a bad actor that somehow go into this code base and he uses suite to read it. Think of it as like a robber enter and then he used a robot to go and figure out where is the safe, you know, something like
that. Oh, for sure. Yeah, that would be really bad. And so far, we're really strict about how we handle our privacy of our keys and all the permissions we pass. But for people who are really concerned about safety as well, which is some people want the trade-off of hosting versus self-deployment, we do have an option for you to deploy Sweep yourself. And that would give you, then the security would be your responsibility and only your responsibility. Even though, of course, when you have what's the solution, we handle that.
Okay.
So we do have that.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the next interesting question. What is your view of artificial intelligence with reference to dev work and work productivity too? What would the modern developer work with tools like Sweep in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I hope with AI working around your code base and working with you, it'll really free you up to make the complex decisions that AI cannot make yet. So right now we haven't seen like an AI that has really good product creativity or very creative, like out of problem solving. So mostly it's seeing solutions pass. But the thing is that tech debt is mostly stuff that has been seen many times. So I think tech debt is a perfect place to start. And it feels good with how I like to work. I like to work on solving hard problems and not necessarily adding stuff like documentation or stuff like that. But my view on.
Yeah, so you're saying that maybe the next 5 years, the developer's creativity will be released to focus on more complex algorithms. I don't know, like figuring out Schrodinger's cat, like complex function problems instead of, this feature works, if then work, and just put a documentation just for audience understand that the complexity of what developers can do.
Yeah, I think it also, does it also, because it helps to reduce the tech debt, it also increase the velocity rate to release features faster.
In other words, maybe the end user product could more usable forms or function. What do you think?
Yeah, no, definitely. I really like the idea of also increasing developer velocity. I think what we can think of it as like maybe one comparison is how Excel changed how we work with data.
Mm.
Because before it's just the same thing. If you were to write a simple like logging statement, it's the same thing as to me, I wouldn't want to solve problems that a calculator can solve.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, wouldn't feel good. Yeah. So then same with kind of tech debt and coding. I wouldn't want to write code that GPT-4 can write. That wouldn't be fun to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of enable the evolution of development of products or software to end up be at a higher level, like to think of all the intercom algorithm problems rather than to this thing is same old stuff again.
In part 3 of our enlightening podcast with William Zeng, we ventured into the captivating realms of AI-powered coding and the remarkable potential Sweep holds for software developers. William's insights into AI's transformative power and its impact on the developer's mindset left us intrigued and inspired. But our journey doesn't end here. As we transition into part 4 of this exciting conversation with William, get ready to unleash your coding potential with Sweep, the AI-powered code assistant. This episode will provide invaluable advice for fresh graduates interested in joining the tech industry and empower you to embrace AI's revolutionary capabilities. In this episode, we'll explore how Sweep, the open-source and language-agnostic AI tool, is empowering developers to become more productive and conquer technical debt. Discover how startups like Sweep leverage speed and passion to compete against tech giants and revolutionize the coding world. Join us as we uncover the groundbreaking platform of Sweep and learn how you can get started on this transformative coding journey. Whether you're a seasoned developer or a startup enthusiast, Part 4 promises to revolutionize your coding world. Tune in now and embark on a transformative journey into the AI-powered code revolution.
Hi, guys. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If this is the first time you are tuning in, remember to subscribe to this show. If you have subscribed to this show and love this episode, please share it with your friends, family, and acquaintances. See you later, and see you soon.